vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 63, Text 6. Okay, just markers way off here. Okay. Banarte Bhagavan Ruja Sasuta Samatar Vrita Aruyanandi Vishavam Yudhe Ramakrishnayo Banarte Bhagavan Ruja Dasita Pramatarvita Aruyanandi Vishabam Yayudhe Ramakrishnayo. Vaishnavis? Bhaktivedanta Academy.
Shabbat.
Word for word, Bana Arte. For Bana's sake, Bhagavan Rudra, Lord Shiva, Sasutaha, together with his son, Kartikeya, the general of the demigods' army, Pramartai, by the Pramartas, mystic sages who always attend Lord Shiva, appearing in a multitude of forms. Sitaha, accompanied. Avuya, riding. Nandi, Anandi. Rishabham, his bull. Niyudhe, he fought. Ramakrishnayo, with Balaram and Krishna. Translation. Lord Rudra, accompanied by his son Kartikeya and the Pramartas, came riding on Nandi, his bull carrier, to fight Balaram and Krishna on Bana's behalf. Report. Srila Sridhar Swami states that the word Bhagavan is used here to indicate that Lord Shiva is by nature all-knowing and thus well aware of Lord Krishna's greatness. Still, although Shiva knew Lord Krishna would defeat him, he joined the battle against him to demonstrate the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that Lord Shiva entered the battle for two reasons. First, to increase Lord Krishna's pleasure and enthusiasm. And second, to demonstrate that the Lord's incarnation as Krishna, although enacting human-like pastimes, is superior to other avatars such as Lord Ramachandra. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further states in this regard that Yoga Maya, Lord Krishna's internal potency, bewildered Lord Shiva just as he had bewildered Brahma. In support of this statement, the Acharya cites the phrase Brahma Rudradi Mohanam from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Of course, Yoga Maya's job is to make fine arrangements for the Lord's pastimes, and thus Shiva became enthusiastic to battle the Supreme Lord Krishna. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So imagine if your service was to fight Krishna and Lord Balaram. What would that be like? Do any of you like to fight sometimes? Do you like to fight or play fight? Not like to get hurt, but just to play fight, to wrestle, to... Okay. None of the older kids like to fight, play fight? Okay. So this is one of Lord Shiva's services to Krishna, is to fight with him. And Yoga Maya, who arranges amazing pastimes for the Lord and his devotees, she saw to it that Lord Shiva forgot his position as Krishna's servant to fight with him. So Lord Shiva, when he came to fight with Bana, he came with Kartikeya. Now, Lord Shiva has two sons, Lord Shiva and Parvati. Who knows who his two sons are? Paranga, you always know everything. Let me call someone else. Ganesh and Kartikeya. So Kartikeya has lots and lots of names. And in most of the Shiva temples you go to, you'll also see Kartikeya is often there as well. And he's known as the god of war and victory. And he's the commander of the devas. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Senani nam aham skanda. One of Kartikeya's names is Lord Skanda. And that means among generals, I am Skanda. Krishna says that. Kartikeya is specifically empowered also. And He's the chief of all the military commanders in the material world. And he's there's a whole Purana, the Skanda Purana, that's devoted to Kartikeya. So there's a lot of different stories about how Kartikeya took birth and all of that, but he's described, the stories are there in the Mahabharata and the Ramayana and in several of the Puranas. But probably the most common, and some of you can correct me, but is when Lord Shiva was called upon to kill one demon, from his third eye, 6 sparks came out. And Agni carried those sparks over to the Saravana Lake, and they were so hot. Agni, who's the fire god, right? He could barely carry those sparks. And then from those sparks, Murugan, another name of Kartikeya, was born on a lotus with 6 faces. And when Lord Shiva and Parvati saw him, they were crying tears of joy. Just so beautiful and so powerful. And he led all of the devas into victory against the asuras. So Nandi, Lord Shiva's bull, was known as his carrier, right? His vahana. So Nandi also has a special way he appeared. There was a great sage named Sage Shilanda, and he wanted a child who would be immortal, who would never die. So he did penances for 1,000 years. First, Lord Brahma came, and he asked for his boon, and Lord Brahma said, I can't give you the boon of immortality or an immortal child. I'm not immortal myself. You have to worship Lord Shiva. Is Lord Shiva immortal? Yes. So Lord Shiva, he came, and while he was performing these austerities for that 1,000 years, what do you think happened to his body? He got eaten by termites. All that was left was the bones. I guess termites don't eat bones. So, unless they're in Florida. So, Lord Shiva appeared and he gave him the boon that his heart's desire to have a child that would be immortal. And with the touch of his hand, Lord Shiva restored the sage's body to its former beauty. So then, Sage Shilanda, he performed a yajna, and a child appeared from the sacrificial fire, and he was wearing an armor of diamonds, very, very beautiful. And the sage was very happy, and he took him home, and he began educating him in the Vedas, and then he found out that the child would suffer an early death. And he didn't understand that because he had asked for a child that was immortal. So his son began worshiping Lord Shiva along with the father. And Lord Shiva then blessed him to be immortal. And he gave him all these benedictions that he would be infused with all of Lord Shiva's powers and be given all of his protection. And he told him that you will become my carrier, and you will have all divine powers. And he transformed him into the form we see this child as half bull and half human. So Nandi is also the gatekeeper. He protects, he's a protector. Always you'll see him there with Lord Shiva and Parvati. And he's considered the foremost disciple of Lord Shiva. So I just wanted to share that with you. Because I was thinking, I really don't know very much about Kartikeya or Nandi. So I looked it up. Was that new information for some of you? Yes? Okay. Now, the important. So Lord Shiva, when I first read the purport, I thought of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where there's a lot of very wonderful glories of Lord Shiva described, and also more information about his pastime of Lord Shiva and Bana, and how Lord Bana got, how the demon Banasura got this special, special mercy of Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva. Would you guys like to hear about that? Okay, Haribo. How many of you know this book, Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita? How many of you know? How many of you have read any parts of it? The adults can raise your hands too. Well, I want to tell you a secret. This book, there's three big volumes like this. And don't let the size intimidate you, because it's actually quite easy reading, and it's very, very sweet. A lot of nectar. When my kids were little, they always wanted to hear stories they hadn't heard before, and pastimes they hadn't heard before, and hear from scriptures they hadn't heard. When my daughter was 3 years old, she had this saying. She said, "Tell me a no-no story." And a no-no story meant a story she had never heard yet. And I was, you know, after the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Krishna book, we went through the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, and it wasn't enough. They're always looking for more stories, more pastimes. So I didn't get to grow up in a devotee family. I grew up in a religious family, a Catholic family, but we didn't have very much information about God. We certainly didn't have information about Krishna. And it was just understood that when you became pure and you returned to heaven, then you would get to know about God. But as a child, that was very unsatisfying. I really, really wanted to know who God is, what he looks like, what he's doing, and what I'm going to do when I go there to be with him. And that was a hankering I had, I remember very strong from the age of 8 on, that I was searching very much for God in his personal form, and to find out about his spiritual abode. So if someone was to ask you, who is God, what does he look like, where does he live, what do you do when you go to be with him, do you feel like you could answer those questions for them? How many of you feel like you could answer a lot of that for somebody that you met that wasn't raised as a Vaishnava? Okay, thank you. So this Brihad Bhagavatamrita actually gives amazing information about the material universe, the different planets in it, about the heavenly planets, Lord Brahma's planet, Lord Shiva's planet, Kailash, and then incredible information about Vaikuntha, and then in Vaikuntha, the different personal abodes of the Lord, Ayodhya, and Dwarka, and Goloka Vrindavan. So, if you haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, over the summer, it'd be pretty easy. Just 3 volumes like this. And if your parents haven't read them yet, you can read them to your parents. So, I'm going to read some verses and share some more about Lord Shiva and about Banasura. Narada Muni, this is the part in the beginning. Narada Muni wants to find out who is the greatest devotee of the Lord. And he goes to different devotees one after another. So first he's talking with his father Brahma, saying, "You're the greatest devotee." And Lord Brahma says, "No, no way, not me." Lord Shiva, he's the greatest devotee. And this is Lord Brahma speaking. He says, "In this universe, I see no object of Lord Vishnu's mercy equal to Mahadev Shiva. He is famous as the dear friend of the Lord. Lord Shiva is always intoxicated by the taste found at Sri Krishna's lotus feet. He therefore has no interest in any of the normal goals of life, even up to rulership of the universe and the sense enjoyment such rulership provides." Lord Shiva, he doesn't live an opulent life. He doesn't dress opulently. He doesn't care about his residence. Even though he possesses everything as an exalted servant of the Lord, he doesn't care for any of these. And often he's seen riding on his bull naked and with matted locks of hair, and doesn't care for his bodily condition, right? So Lord Brahma sees that as something glorious, because Most of us are concerned with our bodies. And he goes on further to describe that Lord Shiva and his wife, they can award liberation. And that Lord Shiva is not different from Krishna. And that the personality of Godhead tolerates offenses against himself, but not against Shiva. So, let's see. Another interesting thing, we know that, so when Narada Muni, he wanted at once to go visit Lord Shiva in Kailash to find out more from him. But Brahma stopped him and he said, actually, yes, there's that Kailash in the heavenly planets, but in the Vayu Purana, it describes the abode of Sri Mahadev that lies outside of the seven coverings of the universe. So there in Shiva Loka, it's not a creation of the material universe. It's completely spiritual, and there's no unhappiness there. And that's where the best of Lord Shiva's devotees go to. Eternal and full of happiness, that abode is absolutely real. It can be attained by the best of Lord Shiva's servants. There, Lord Shiva, served by the most excellent regalia, reveals himself in his full splendor, surrounded by companions who share opulence and beauty equal to his. As his personal deity, he worships Lord Sankarshan, non-different from himself. So when Narada Muni travels there to see Lord Shiva, and one point I want to make is that Lord Shiva is not a jiva soul. He's an expansion of Lord Vishnu, of Lord Krishna. And whereas Lord Brahma, he's a jiva, right? It's described that one can become Lord Brahma, and there's many, many Lord Brahmas throughout many, many different universes, right? The Lord Brahma in our universe has four heads, but in some universes he has many, many more heads than four. So, a living entity, a jiva soul, can become Lord Brahma, but no one can become Lord Shiva. So, but when Narada Muni started praising Lord Shiva and repeating what Lord Brahma had said about his glories, Lord Shiva became so upset he covered his ears and he said, "Don't talk like that. I'm not the Lord of the universe, nor am I an object of Krishna's mercy. I'm just a poor soul always hankering for the favor of the servants of his servants." And Narada, again, something he had heard from Brahma, Lord Brahma was saying that when I commit offenses, Krishna chastises me. But when Lord Shiva makes a mistake, the Lord praises him. So, Bana was a cause of trouble for saintly persons. Too proud of the strength of his arms, he used magic to arrest Aniruddha and fight against Krishna, the wielder of the disc. When you saw that Bana, your devotee, whom you had maintained like a son, was on the verge of being killed, to save his life, you offered prayers to Sri Hari. So here, Narada is giving credit to Lord Shiva for saving Bana, Sura, from Krishna's anger. And that once Lord Shiva offered his prayers, Krishna put aside his anger. And he gave Bana all these great benedictions, which we're going to read about in the next couple of weeks in the Bhagavatam. But then when Lord Shiva was countering that, he said, actually, that's not true. That's not what happened. He described, actually, it was because of Prahlad Maharaj. It was a mistake for me to give these benedictions. And it was because of Prahlad that both Bali Maharaj was saved and given the great opulences and direct devotional service that he was given. And also it was because he was the great, Banasur, the great grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. That's why he was given all of this, was forgiven by the Lord, and his life was spared and given all these opulences and benedictions. So he says, if you want to find a great, great devotee of the Lord, and you want to find out who is the object of Krishna's mercy, then you need to go to see Prahlad Maharaj. He's the one. So, and not a lot of time. I wanted to share something else. A beautiful description of Lord Shiva. When Gopakumar was traveling on his way in the higher planets, the first time he saw Lord Shiva in person, can you imagine what it would be like to see Lord Shiva in person? Yeah, I can't either. But reading this, it's pretty amazing. So this is now Gopakumar, who's a cowherd boy, who's also, he's a disciple. Narada Muni is guiding him on his sojourn throughout the universes, all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan. So this is his first time seeing Lord Shiva. I saw someone riding on a bull, a unique person arriving from a higher region, three-eyed, white like camphor, dressed only by the sky. That exquisitely beautiful person carried a trident and bore the half moon on his head, his matted locks brilliantly adorned by the Ganga. His body was smeared with ashes and graced by a charming garland of bones. Whoa! Sitting on his lap, a woman of fair complexion affectionately served him. Divine regalia surrounded him, more heavenly than the riches of heaven, and many followers attended him, their attractive forms and conduct just befitting his service. So Lord Shiva is described as the giver of material enjoyment and the giver of liberation. He is worshipped even by the liberated souls, and he's very dear to the Vaishnavas, and he awards devotional service. That's why we're especially interested in Lord Shiva. So Gopakumar was a simple cowherd boy from Govardhan, and he was amazed seeing Lord Shiva and Parvati. And then Lord Shiva's son Ganesh, he began glorifying the Vaishnavas, and especially the residents of Vaikuntha Loka. And he was explaining to Gopakumar how special they are, and that if he receives the full mercy of his father, Lord Shiva, then he will hear the glories of Vaikuntha and be able to go there and meet these Vaikuntha Vasis himself. And then Gopakumar became very enlivened and very anxious to meet the residents of Vaikuntha. So when we hear these pastimes, that should also happen for us, that in our mind and in our heart, we become very eager and anxious to meet the Lord's great, great devotees and be able to serve them. And I want to find, I know you guys have to leave soon, so I want to find this one verse. Okay, maybe it's here. Lord Shiva gave these instructions to Gopakumar that, and he says, please hear what is beneficial for you to do. If you want to reach Vaikuntha, then give up everything and with pure love practice the 9 forms of devotional service. Honor the Bhagavatam and other scriptures that tell of this devotional service. Hear from them regularly about the Lord's pastimes. For when those narrations enter the holes of your ears, and you relish them with love, they will swiftly award you the Lord's abode. So this is the benediction that we've been given by Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas to have all this wonderful, wonderful information about the Lord and his transcendental abode and how to get there and how to bring as many people, as many souls with us as we can. So we can take the opportunity. Today's a special day, Mahadwadasi, and the austerities you perform and the hearing and chanting you do today, you get extra benefit. You can say a prayer to Lord Shiva to be able to serve the Lord's devotees and reach the topmost transcendental abode, Goloka Vrindavan. I'm going to stop there if anybody has any questions or wants to share. And thank you all for being so attentive. You're a great audience.
Thank you.
Sorry,
any pictures I've ever seen of Lord Shiva and Nandi, it wasn't half bull and half human. You said something that Nandi was half human or something?
And maybe somebody else who's more knowledgeable can answer that. Maybe it's because he speaks and he's full knowledge. He's not like just an animal. Maybe it's because he has the consciousness and the awareness. Would that be correct, Mukunda? Okay. Oh, now where's Garanga when I need him? He probably knows.
Well, Ramachandra's monkey army, so they're more human-like, they're not monkey-like. They more look like humans. That is.
You get it?
You were telling us how you were hankering find out more about God, so I thought, you know, when you were young and you were just really obsessed with it, so I was wondering if you could tell us how you finally made the connection. Someone gave you a book, you met a movie, how did that work?
I actually first met the devotees when I was 11 years old, and I can still remember the conversations and the questions I asked and the answers they gave me. And then when I was like 13, my sister brought home a Bhagavatam she gave a donation for and brought it home. And then we had the Bhagavatam in the home. And I looked at the pictures and read a little bit, but I didn't read it so ardently. But then when I was 14, we moved across the street from the Hare Krishna temple in Laguna Beach. And there was a big pink Maha Mantra sign, and I could see it. And I could see Tulsi Devi's greenhouse, and I could see the Brahmacharis, the terraced garden, and they would be tending the marigold flowers and the snapdragons and other flowers that they would offer to the deities. And it was a big street. It was Pacific Coast Highway in Laguna Beach. So it was, you know, four lanes. It wasn't like right there. It was like from here to the Prashadam Pavilion. That's where the temple was from where we lived. But every day I saw Hare Krishnas. And where our flat was, right overlooking the beach, was the stairs, the public access. So that's where all the devotees used the stairs to go down to the beach to chant japa. So every day I would see somebody with their japa bag going down to chant, and sometimes in devotional dress, sometimes not. And I always wondered, what's in that bag, that funny bag they're carrying? And why did it look like they're talking to themselves? And I had already become a vegetarian, so I kept getting invited to the Hare Krishna temple because they have the best vegetarian food. That's what people would tell me. And Laguna Beach, that was 1974. In Laguna Beach, a lot of people were vegetarians. There was a big movement there called Love Animals, Don't Eat Them. And there were buttons and there were bumper stickers, and that was, I don't know, it seemed to me that everybody I met was a vegetarian, so I became a vegetarian because I already thought you shouldn't eat animals. So it was pretty easy with so many people. But it wasn't until I started going to the temple that I got to hear about Krishna. And I remember first hearing about his Damodar pastimes as a child, and running from Mother Yashoda and stealing the butter and feeding it to the monkeys. And that was like, okay, and this is God, maybe? I wasn't opposed. I think I'd had enough purification and had heard enough kirtan and met enough devotees that it was more like, well, let me find out more. And I got a Krishna book, and I read the Krishna book, and I had a Bhagavad Gita that was a little hard to read. And then, but pretty much by taking prasadam and participating in kirtan and reading and associating with devotees, that's how I got to find out more and more and make the connection. But I never had thought about that before, Sukhita. Thanks for asking about the connection, because it was this kind of like, when somebody comes to the temple for their first time, it's like really different than when you grow up in the temple, right? Because the first thing is like smells you've never smelled before, with the spices from the cooking and the incense and the flower garlands, and you're seeing deities of the Supreme Lord. It's just very different than anything you've ever seen before for most Western people, most Americans anyways. So it's like everything's all at once. Like, I've met people who came to the temple for weeks, even moved into the temple, and it was a while before they even noticed the deities on the altar, or before they figured out it was the Hare Krishna movement. They thought they were joining some other yoga group. I mean, it's like, because the senses, there's so much all that's all different all at once, that it's a lot to take in.
I just wanted to express like a lot of appreciation for you and your husband. It's been like such a ideal seeing both you guys. I think I met your husband in 75 in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And then I remember coming with Bhakti Pritha Maharaj to Laguna Beach and thinking this was the best preaching trip of my life, between the restaurant and the beach across the street and so on. And so I just, and then even coming here to this community, really it was kind of because of you guys in a way, because when me and my wife came, we saw the land that you had, and you were willing to sell that, and that became impetus that we should do it right away and come here. So, and of course, your husband's like a super talented musician. I've been a musician almost all my life, and I always used to think, wow, he would be amazing in the secular world, but actually Krishna's always kept him engaged in inspiring devotees. So I've always had a great deal of appreciation for both of you.
Thank you. And myself, for you. I've always had a great deal of appreciation for you. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you very much for an enlivening class. I just recalled one story I heard from Srila Prabhupada about Lord Shiva, which I would like to recite. And that was that although Lord Shiva was married with the superintendent of the entire cosmic manifestation, he never really invested in having his own house and residence. But his wife Parvati wanted him to have more comfort, so she induced him to reside in a golden house. So they had the, I think it's called Griha Pravesh, where they entered the house by having a feast and inviting everyone. So when everyone was had taken their prasadam, then they were taking their prasadam, and then came a brahmana. And since they had already taken their prasadam, it was incorrect for them to not receive the brahmana in a proper way. So then Lord Shiva just gave him the golden house and went back under the tree again.
Please don't tell my husband that. Thank you all for this. Hare Krishna. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.